We are continuing our journey through Proverbs, and I love the story of a young man. He was working in a grocery store, and he was stocking groceries on one of the aisles, and a woman came up to him and said, "Young man, I need to buy half a head of lettuce. Can I do that?" And he said, I don't really know. We don't sell half heads of lettuce." She said, "Well, could you cut one in half? I just need half. Cut one in half and sell me half." He said, I really, no one's ever asked me that before. Let me run back and talk to the manager and see what we can do." And so he ran to the back of the store and finds the manager, and he says, "Look, there is some old bag up front who wants to buy half a head of lettuce." And he could tell from the look on his manager's face that the woman had followed him to the back of the store and was standing right behind him. So he turns and looks at the woman and says, "And this lovely lady would like to buy the other half head of lettuce." Well, they check her out, and she goes on her way, and the manager says, "Man, that was quick thinking. Where are you from?" And the young man says, "I'm from Toronto, home of great hockey players and ugly women." And the manager said, "My wife is from Toronto." And the young man said, "Really? What team did she play for?" We've encountered a number of different characters in our journey through Proverbs so far. There's the simpleton and the fool. Last week it was the hothead, and today we meet the big mouth. And I realized a couple of weeks ago how ill-advised and ill-conceived the layout is for our program, the cover of our program that you receive every time you walk in. I didn't realize how ill-conceived it was until I saw it in print, but when we talked about the fool, this is what you saw. The fool, Wade Hodges. And then last week it was the hothead, Wade Hodges. And today's program is absolutely descriptive and accurate. It's the big mouth, Wade Hodges. Now, what bothers me is in a couple of weeks, I was going to talk about the adulterer, and I'm thinking, we're going to have to change the layout, or I'm going to have to find a new title. I have occasionally been your garden variety, everyday fool. And from time to time, I told you a story last week, time to time, I lose my cool, and I become a hothead. But those are just every now and then kind of things. But today, my parents, my little sister, my wife, my boys, my friends, all of my enemies, all of them can testify that for me, every single day is a struggle not to be a big mouth. I own this one. I really should have brought in a guest speaker to do this one, because I can only speak not from my great wisdom and positive experience. I can only speak from my brokenness, from my sin, from my capacity to hurt people and cause trouble with my words, because that's what a big mouth does. A big mouth is a special kind of fool in Proverbs who does not have the wisdom to use words appropriately. The big mouth's problem is he fails to appreciate, he fails to understand the potency of words, especially words spoken out loud. Words we say to others, words we say about others, the spoken word. Listen to what Proverbs has to say about the power of our spoken words. Four Proverbs for you. First, Proverbs 11:9, "With their mouths the godless destroy their neighbors." Next slide, please. And then Proverbs 12:18, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And then this one, Proverbs 15:4, "Gentle words are a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." And then Proverbs 18:21, "The tongue can bring death or life, Those who love to talk, those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, notice all of those proverbs point to both the positive and the negative potential of the words we say. Our spoken words can bring healing or they can wound. They can inspire or they can crush. They can build up or tear down. They can create or destroy. And behind this description of how powerful our words are in the wisdom tradition is a theology of speech. It's built upon this idea that God's power is manifested through God's spoken word. We see it from the very beginning, the very first story in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. It's a story of creation. And it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." God speaks creation into existence. "And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so." And there's this rhythm to that story in Genesis chapter 1. God speaks, and something happens. Something comes into being. But there's more to it than just God creating with the spoken word. There are also different places in Scripture where God's judgment on those who persist in doing evil, God's judgment is described in poetic imagery as God melting the world or melting creation with a spoken word. Psalm 46, verse 6. "Nations are in an uproar, kingdoms fall, and God lifts his voice, and the earth melts." So we have this idea in the Scriptures that God is bringing life into existence with a word, but God is also taking things off the face of the earth with just a word. God can create and God can destroy with a spoken word. And so it shouldn't really be a surprise that the wisdom tradition attributes all of this power to the words that we as human beings, created in God's image, with God's creative capacity at work in us to some degree, that the words we speak to and about each other have so much power. Because on a lesser scale, we are creating and destroying worlds with our words. We are shaping and defining reality. We are shaping the way we view the world around us with our words. And the words we speak to and about each other can be life-giving, or they can be deadly. Several years ago, there was a story in the news about this huge forest fire. It destroyed thousands of acres of timber, millions of dollars worth of property. And we hear these stories every so often. And the reason this fire started is because a woman lit a cigarette and then tossed a still-lit match by the side of the road. And as she was driving off from the scene, she left behind her the makings of one of nature's most destructive forces. Well, that's what a big mouth does. A careless word here, a negative word there, a malicious word dropped by the side of the road, and before you know it, there's this raging fire. Proverbs teaches us to consider our words, because every word we speak is like a little bottle of nitroglycerin that can set the whole world on fire if we don't handle it with care. And Proverbs describes all kinds of foolish speech that big mouths set the world on fire with. There's angry words, got a song about that one. There's deceptive words. There are words we speak to others with the intention to do them harm, name-calling, cutting, biting remarks, belittling insults. And there are the words that we speak about others behind their back. Proverbs calls this gossip. And in my experience, nothing can set an organization, a team, a church, a community on fire faster than when we start talking about us without us in the room. When we start talking about us without us in the room so that we can tell the other side of the story, so that we can explain ourselves, so that we could defend our honor, so that we could admit and acknowledge, I made a mistake, I committed a sin, I was in the wrong, please forgive me, but at least I can look you in the eye and say that. It happens all the time. You're telling a story about someone, and maybe this person isn't your favorite person in the world. And so you know how, and it's just instinctive. You can tell the story in such a way, you leave out a few details, you shade the truth just a bit, and you make the person you're talking about, telling the story about, you make this person seem a lot worse than they really are. And in doing so, you make yourself look a lot better. I've done it. It's easy to do. And I've had it done to me. And it's one of the most soul-crushing, community-killing, relationship-destroying forces in all the world. Listen to this proverb. Proverbs 25, verse 18. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe or wounding them with a sword or shooting them with a sharp arrow. It's that destructive. And it is oh so tempting. Consider this proverb, 18:8. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Someone starts telling a story. Did you hear? That's awful. Tell me more. Not because I'm a gossip, because being a gossip is wrong. I just want more information so that I can pray intelligently about their situation. I'm not a gossip. I'm a prayer warrior. Tell me the story, and then I'm going to tell others so others can be praying as well. Or this proverb, 26 verse 20. Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. That's a good one. Fires go out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. This is really helpful, especially if you find yourself always in conflict. Maybe people are talking to you about somebody else, and you're talking to somebody else about somebody else, and you're always in the midst of this kind of brouhaha. What is being said, and who said what, and what's happening? Maybe the reason you're always involved in some kind of quarrel is because you spend more time talking about someone else than actually talking to that person, especially if you have a problem with them. When you're talking about them without them, you're just throwing wood on the fire. It's when we talk to each other. It takes emotional maturity. It takes a bit of wisdom. It takes a bit of strength to be able to square up with someone that bothers you. You've got a problem with them, or you need to have a conversation. But when we square up with each other and actually talk to each other, instead of trying to solve our problems by talking about each other, we open up channels of communication. We can clarify. Maybe there's understanding. Maybe there's forgiveness. Maybe there's reconciliation. Perhaps there's peace. But those things almost never come about when we're talking about them without them. It just sows seeds of destruction in our relationships and in our community. So there is this negative side to our speech. It can do so much harm to others, but it gets worse. Because not only can our words hurt other people, our words also reveal the state of our hearts. You can pretend and you can hide and you can act to be more holy and righteous than you really are, but sooner or later you're going to say something. Listen to this teaching from Jesus. This is one of those teachings from Jesus that I put into the category of one of the most scariest things Jesus ever said. It's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 and following. He said, "A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes." Okay, Jesus is worked up. He's mad. "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say." A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. But an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, Jesus steps forward and says, come here, listen, listen, this one's important. You must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle and careless word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. In this passage, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are attributing the good works that Jesus is doing to Satan. The Pharisees say, we are the men of God. We are the people of God. We speak for God. We represent God. We are closer to God because of our holiness than anyone else. And yet, when the Son of God shows up and begins to do God's work, they say, that's not God, that's Satan. And Jesus says, you can proclaim and act like you're holier than thou all you want, but it's your words, what you're saying about me, that betray the darkness of your hearts. Your words betray you, Jesus says to them and to us. The words we speak, the belittling, the name calling, the shaming, the hypercritical picking apart, those words, we normally say them to feel better about ourselves. Trust me, I know this from experience. And when we use that kind of negative language, what it does is reveal the state of our hearts, the darkness, the brokenness, the insecurity, the guilt, the shame, projecting all these things on others with our words that we're feeling inside. And the words we speak to and about others almost never accurately describe who they are and what's going on inside of them, but they do describe who we are and what's going on inside of us when we speak them. And the idea that someday I would have to give an account, I would have to explain, I would have to somehow defend every careless or negative or sarcastic, Lord have mercy, sarcastic word that I have ever spoken, that hurt someone else, that tore someone else down, that sowed seeds of discord, that didn't build people up, that thought makes me shudder. Because all I will be able to do, all I can do right now, is throw myself on the mercy of God, whose love and grace is bigger than mine and your sin, hopefully including the sins we commit with our big mouths. Proverbs comes across with some severe warnings. The consequences of foolish speech are clear and they are severe. But it's not all negative, because Proverbs also casts this positive vision for the power our words have to do good when we choose them and speak them in an appropriate way. Listen to these Proverbs about the positive power of speech. Proverbs 15:4, gentle words are a tree of life. Think about how important the image of the tree of life is throughout Scripture. It's there in the beginning, it's there in the end, it shows up all the way through, and gentle words are like drawing near to the tree of life. Or this one, gracious words, Proverbs 16, verse 24, are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones. And this next one, Proverbs 18:20. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. So what kind of world do you want to live in? What kind of world do you want to help create with your words? Do you want to live in a world where negative and insulting and belittling and divisive words are tearing us down and pulling us apart, making us angry and anxious? Or do you want to help create a world with your words that build us up, draw us together and give us hope. Because we are helping to create the very world we're living in with what we say. What's it like to live in a world where we speak words of grace and mercy and peace and joy and hope and forgiveness and acceptance and love? What kind of world do we create when we speak gospel words? So Proverbs warns us we can do great harm with the power of speech, but Proverbs also gives us some advice for how to use our words well. How to speak words of wisdom that, rather than harming others, can be like honey to the soul. So let me close by giving you two tips from Proverbs for how to use words well. The first one is think before you speak. I know that's obvious, but that's what Proverbs says to do. Look at this next one, Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. That's how you recognize a godly heart. Someone thinks before speaking. But the mouth of the wicked overflows, gushes with evil words. Just talk and talk and talk and talk. Think before you speak. Most of us take it for granted now, but have you ever thought about how revolutionary it is that our email programs have that little feature? Hopefully you have it checked and turned on, that you type up your message, and then before you send it, or maybe even as you're typing it, it's giving you feedback. And before you can send that message on to someone else, it points out all the words you've misspelled, all the grammatical errors you've made. And before you can send it, it gives you one final warning. Are you sure this is what you want to say, sending it out like that? Or do you want to revise and refine your communication? It's there working in the background all the time. It makes us look a lot smarter than we are. It's catching us. It's helping us. Wouldn't it be great if there was a program we could download into our minds that would function in much the same way? It's there running in the background. And before we say something, are you sure you want to say that? Are you sure you don't want to refine that statement? Are you sure? Are you sure you want to send that message? How much money would you be willing to pay for an app that would warn you before you make a joke to your buddy standing in the airport security line about how he looks like a terrorist with that beard? And then maybe there's a beep in your ear and there's a little voice that says, do you want to miss your flight? Do you want to spend all night in an airport holding cell? Think before you speak. Or wouldn't it be great if before you say something negative about your coworker to another coworker, as you're both washing your hands at the bathroom sink, before you say it, this message pops up in your mental screen and it says, hold on. Are you sure the person you're about to talk about isn't in a stall behind you? Just think about it. Are you sure you want to say that? Or what about before you say that word or you use that label that will melt your child's spirit? Melt a world. Message flashes across your mind's eye. Remember, you are creating or destroying worlds with every word you say. Think before you speak. The good news is there is an app for that. It's called Wisdom. And it's a gift from God and it's available for download. You have to ask for it, but God gives it. And you download it and you activate it, and it takes some time. You have to train yourself. You have to learn how to use it. But once you download it and activate it and learn how to use it, it's there in the background of your mind, and it's working all the time, filtering everything you say. Now, it does slow your word processor down a bit. There's some lag time, but that's good, and that's positive. The value of it is it slows us down, and it makes us think. Wisdom is asking us always in the background. This next slide is what you're about to say. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it really necessary? Do you really need to say this? And is it kind? Think before you speak. And if what we're about to say doesn't pass that test, wisdom says, why don't you delete that one? Why don't you sit and wait on that one and see if you can revise it or reword it? Think before you speak. And then the second tip from Proverbs, I love this one, talk less. If you want to use words well, talk less. Proverbs says, verse 10, 19, too much talk leads to sin, so be sensible and keep your mouth shut. This is just the law of averages. The longer you talk, the more you say, the more likely you are to say something negative or exaggerate a truth or deceive someone. The longer you talk, the more you say, the more likely you are to misuse your words. So, simply, talk less. There's so much value in this. This next slide. 1727, a truly wise person uses few words. One of the signs of wisdom is, well, they don't talk as much as other people do. They use few words. Why? Because wisdom recognizes that there are many, many times, not always, remember sometimes there's a time to speak, but many, many times, silence is golden. Silence is golden. Silence is golden. Silence is golden. I repeat that because when I was in the fifth grade, my teacher wrote that little ditty on a chalkboard and threatened me and says, if you don't stop talking, you're going to copy this down 1,000 times in your spiral notebook. I didn't have to copy it down 1,000 times. I copied it down 333 times with one to grow on by taping three pins together, and then you hold them at a certain angle. Final slide. Proverbs 17:28. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. That's the best one of the whole batch to me. You want to appear smarter? You want people to think you're more intelligent than you really, wiser than you really are? It is so simple. Talk less. Which is the best argument I know for shorter sermons. Which is why I'm going to stop talking now. Let's stand and sing.